There are certain moments in life that change everything, just like that, in a moment. Losing a loved one, a child being born, meeting your best friend, learning something that deepens your understanding of what the truth is, becoming baptized. These are just a few examples, of course. You must certainly have your own. I hope you do. For me, at the top of my list, there's a particular moment that stands out more than just about any other. It is the moment on August 6th of 2000 where I stood with my soon-to-be wife as I spoke my wedding vows. It's a poignant and very memorable moment for me, for the obvious reason that I was just about to begin my great future with my soon-to-be wife, and that I was committing my life to her at that moment. Yeah, that alone was enough. But what may not be obvious is the more personal experience of that was very internal to me at that moment, beyond just sharing these words of commitment. As I spoke my wedding vows that day, I invoked the name of God. And as I spoke that word, God, I recall that word on my lips, and it became more real than it ever was. I knew at that moment that I was not only making a commitment to my wife, but even greater, I was making a commitment to God himself. I was in his presence at that moment, and I had never felt it in such a strong way before. For me, it changed everything. From that point on, I evaluated the course of my life differently because I felt that new level of accountability that was so much bigger than myself. I was now accountable to God himself. That's big stuff for a 24-year-old man. And I have never turned back from that moment, gladly. And it has continued to offer me delight and personal joy ever since that moment in adhering to that commitment. The reason for that delight and joy has to do with the fact that I know personally that God is in my life. I believe it and I live by it. I know that he is aware of and in control of everything that affects me in my life, every single thing. Every time I hit the snooze bar on my alarm, he's aware of what's going on. It's little stuff, but it's also the big stuff. Regardless, even more than just those things that affect little old me, there is nothing in this world that happens without his will. Everything that happens in this world, to you, to me, to people all over, it is all according to the will of God. Once you understand that, that fact changes everything. When God becomes the focus, it changes everything. We are in the midst of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and during this time, we consider what Israel was going through, ancient Israel, as they were coming out of Egypt. This is one of the greatest examples of a massive change, that moment when Israel came out of Egypt. Now, take a moment to consider their state of life during that point in time. They had been in Egypt as a nation for 430 years. This United States of America has only been around for under 250 years, and they had been established for, nearly 200 years more. That's quite a long time. They had become an established nation within Egypt, a nation of slaves, day to day, living their lives with that identity. And God had originally, before Israel had been brought to Egypt, these were his special people, and they continued to be his special people. But I think it's apparent that the mindfulness of God had slipped the memory of Israel. God enters into their lives in a big way reminding them that He is in control. He is in their lives. That this nation of Israel is His special people. God began to intervene on their behalf in big ways, ways that could not be ignored. He re-enters the picture for them, delivering them from bondage of slavery. And that presence of God begins to dominate their lives. No longer is He just a backdrop, a historical myth. He became real. After the Passover, when they had fled under the leadership of God through Moses, God's presence was undeniably with them. He had led them out of Egypt quickly, in haste, with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. How magnificent must that have been? Consider what their transition was as they were going through that. Now, let's just put this into context here. Just a few nights ago, we observed the night to be much observed, and the day that which began, of course, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For the nation of Israel, that night to be much observed, they had just the previous night kept the Passover. They were in their homes, eating Passover with their families, and then they got up and left. They had this tremendous upheaval of their life. The plans that they had had the day before, the week before, everything was thrown out the window. Everything changed for them. Let's turn over to Exodus 14 and just look at how magnificent it was as Israel was coming out of Egypt. Israel 14, verses 10 through 14 is where I'll read. And at this moment, Israel had been out of Egypt for just about a week. I think according to tradition, this crossing of the Red Sea happens on the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So you could imagine that they are in this state where their life is, again, experiencing this upheaval, and now they face this tremendous threat. Exodus 14 and verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word which you told, which we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. For the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." This event to the nation of Israel seemed physically impossible. They were still of the mindset of physical limitations. They were about to experience, however, the tremendous, mighty hand of God Himself working in their lives. This was proof, this spreading of the Red Sea for them to cross was proof and evidence of God being in their lives. We can see that they resisted at first, but they did follow. God was in their lives at this point, and they were suddenly led by Him, having not been led by Him before. Turning to Acts 9, I'd like to read to you about Paul. He went through a transformation as well. I'll read Acts 9, beginning in verse 1. Acts 9 and verse 1. "Then Saul, still breathing threats And murder against the disciples of the Lord went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said to him, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." In this moment, Paul realizes with crystal clarity that what he thought was right was terribly wrong. And in that moment, in that instant, he submits to God, realizing that he wasn't seeing things as God saw them. God saw things in a completely different way than Paul did. And Paul immediately, at that moment, submits to God and works to see things in God's way instead of his own. And he follows his instructions. And if we look down to verses 20 through 22, we can see the result. Acts 9, verse 20. "Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, 'Is this not he who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?'" Paul became a powerful instrument in the hands of God. He worked extremely hard to profess the doctrine of Christianity, and he was very successful in doing so. When he understood the plan of God and the salvation of Jesus Christ, his zeal was filled with meaning and truth. That was his transformation. Now, for you and I, how is our conversion going? When God enters your life, the moment may or may not be as instantaneously transformative as some of these examples. But regardless, your conversion, regardless of the way that your conversion began, it inherently involves a fundamental change in the way that you understand your life. Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 13, talks about this transition. Ephesians 2 and verse 11. "Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." That is our transition. When we comprehend God's role in our lives, we suddenly have hope. Our life has meaning. We may not even have realized how little hope we had before. The meaning of our lives becomes complete when we accept God's invitation into his life. The challenge that we face in keeping God's purpose for us is to continually keep that in focus. It's easy to become distracted. Everything changes when we understand that what God is doing in our lives, but we still are in the world that is trying to distract us from paying attention to the truth. Just as God entered the lives of ancient Israel and Paul, he has entered ours. Keeping our focus fixed on what he has in store, let us have him guide us through this dark world so that we can emerge in glory.